Wait 1 second. So we are discussing that the Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to have kol tinokot in the household and all dvar mitzvah. And then the Shulchan Aruch says in source 18 in the Seif Aleph in Kuf Mevav Mechoshe Mishpat that you cannot have inside the mavoy either a rofe, uman or gardi. We said that gardi is oreg gadim, is a weaver making noise which seems to be irregular noise. And Rabbi Dan, so you're saying Rabbi Dan that
but once there is a
school inside your house, it has to be that people are coming.
That's why I think the Rambam
someone had to mention and say that these kind of noises will come. It has to be. Why should there be a difference? The population who are going to shops are more noisy than those who are taking the kids to school. Could be, but I don't think so.
Why would the Rambam say afilu rabim? If so, I think the Rambam said that when he's posting about the Malamit in Yochot, he says afilu rabim.
Yeah.
And that the Havamina, that there is no rabim there. But there is only one.
Ah. So you're saying that but we see in the Gemara that the kind of Yishuv Ben Gamla is to have schools that have many students and they say a certain number until 25. Anyway, so there is so the Shulchan Aruch says they cannot have a rofe uman ugardi. What is rofe? What is rofe? So the Sma brings in source 19 that Rashi says that rofe is a moyel, that you cannot have a moyel in the household inside the chatzir. So the Sma says that doesn't seem to make sense because Shulchan Aruch says that every dvar mitzvah is okay to open in the chatzir. So it can't be that a rofe is a moyel. It has to be that the rofe is rofe gufot bnei adam, a doctor. It's a regular doctor that cures the bodies of people. So he says, so a moel is a dvar mitzvah, you cannot be a moel in the chatzel. But a doctor, you can be a moel in the chatzel, but a doctor, you're allowed to protest because for some reason a doctor is not considered to be a dvar mitzvah. And the question that all the achronim are asking now, according to the Sma, wait a second, also a doctor is a dvar mitzvah. In source 20, the Taz says, also a doctor is a dvar mitzvah. Also, a doctor is doing a great mitzvah, pikuach nefesh, he's saving people's lives. So why is it that a doctor, according to the Sma, cannot open a clinic in the chatzel? Because if we're saying that every dvar mitzvah is allowed, so why is a doctor not considered to be a dvar mitzvah? And we'll see now several answers to that question. Last week, we saw the answer of the Taz. Why is a doctor not considered to be a dvar mitzvah? So Taz says in source 20 that the definition of a dvar mitzvah that we are dealing it with is a dvar mitzvah that has to take place here. We have to find the gathering of people to daven someplace. We have to do it here. A doctor doesn't have to open his clinic here. A doctor can go like in old days, from here to there, to his house, to that person's house. He can walk around people's houses, and it doesn't have to necessarily have a clinic here. So because of that, we can protest. It is a dvar mitzvah, but it's not a dvar mitzvah that has to necessarily be in a makom kavua, in one place. A doctor could go from house to house. Because of that, said Rav Vozner in source 21, that if you think that dvar mitzvah, if you accept the definition of the Taz, that dvar mitzvah means it has to be a dvar mitzvah, it has to be here, because you have to have a gathering of people in this spot. So in that case, when the doctor cannot go from one person to another, like a dentist, he has to have special tools, or every single doctor that we know today, they has to have special instruments that have to be in one certain place. He cannot walk around with his x-ray machine. He has to have a certain place where it stays. So in that case, they're allowed to open clinics inside buildings, inside apartment buildings. You're allowed to open a dentist clinic inside an apartment building. That is the psak of Rav Vozner according to the explanation of the Taz. Okay, so what is dvar mitzvah? It's not every dvar mitzvah. It means dvar mitzvah that has to be in a certain place. But is it when it does have to be in a certain place, like a doctor? In those days, so that would be okay. So that would be prohibited, and you cannot open your clinic at that time. There are other answers to how to define dvar mitzvah, and that will explain why a doctor is not considered to be a dvar mitzvah. Oh, Shulchan says in source 22 that maybe it's not considered to be a dvar mitzvah because ein zin yuchad liYisrael bivad. It could be that this doctor is not curing only Israelis. This is, of course, a big problem to say these kind of things. Israelis? Less than Israelis. I mean, Jews. Yeah, of course, but okay. L'Israel bilvad, I don't want to get into this shita. Nobody accepts this, because even if for some reason it's true that it's not a mitzvah to save people from other nations, if we assume that way, which is probably not true, because you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos in order to save a non-Jew, obviously. But still, that for some reason that will make your mitzvah of curing Jews less of a mitzvah? Of course not. So it's a very interesting answer, but it seems not to be. No posek takes that halacha lemaisa. He also brings another answer in the end of source 22. Yesh lo shekavanto shemelamed umanut harefuah. It could be that the doctor that we're dealing here is not a doctor who's actually performing as a doctor. He's teaching the art of medicine. He's teaching how to become a doctor, but not curing people halacha lemaisa. He's not doing this lemaisa. So because of that, maybe it's not considered to be a dvar mitzvah, but he thinks that a doctor who's saving people, it is a dvar mitzvah. And he could open a clinic inside a household, even though it might cause some noise, because this is a dvar mitzvah, which is allowed. Davne Nezer, in source 23, so this is answer number 3 now, how you define dvar mitzvah. So this is a very interesting answer, and personally, I like this answer very much, because for me, it's kind of a chiddush. Because he asks, wait a second, that the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that you're allowed to open dvar mitzvah, and you're allowed to have a cheder, a place where the children are learning Torah, but not a place where they're learning other things, limud she'eino Torah. And why not? There's a mitzvah to teach your son omanut. Your son has to learn some kind of trade, some kind of an omanut. Every father, which doesn't teach his children omanut, it is as if he's teaching him how to be a bandit, because if he won't have some source of parnasa, so he'll ultimately become a bandit. So, wait a second. So also omanut is a dvar mitzvah. Every business that you have in your house is a dvar mitzvah. So why is it that you cannot open a business? Why is it that you cannot teach children omanut? Why is it that you cannot be a doctor? So he says a very interesting idea. He says that that dvar mitzvah, certain mitzvot, have, in addition to its spiritual benefit, has also a benefit for gashmius, for your physical benefit. Everyone needs a doctor. Every person knows he has to have a doctor. He cannot survive. He cannot live without a doctor. So, and everyone knows that his child has to learn some kind of a manut. He has to go to school and then someday learn some kind of trade, some kind of and get a job. He has to learn a manut. So in those days, if we didn't allow them to open here a place of a doctor clinic or a school for kids, so if it won't be here, it'll be there. The society would not let it that there won't be a doctor's clinic. We have to have a doctor's clinic. We cannot survive without doctors. The society won't let it if we won't have a school, because we have to have schools for our children. Our children need to learn how to someday provide themselves. So a certain mitzvot that have also a physical benefit, doctors, learning a manut, we won't give up on it. So it doesn't have to necessarily be here. We'll find a separate place. Don't worry. We'll find a place to have a doctor's clinic. We'll find a place to have a school. However, learning Torah, so this is seemingly, to people, only a spiritual benefit. And if we won't open here, the haters will say, okay, so we'll find a place, but we won't find a place. Because it won't be so important to them. Because people can survive and live a long life without learning Torah. So maybe they'll think that learning Torah is not so important. It doesn't have necessarily a physical benefit to the person. So because of that, because of people thought that they can survive and live a life without learning Torah, so they said, no. You'll open the cheder right here in the building. Because we are concerned that if it won't be here, it won't be anywhere. Yes, we'll find a place. No, eventually they won't find a place, and the cheder will never be opened. So because of that, only mitzvot that don't have a physical benefit are allowed to be opened in the chatzer, in the building. But mitzvot that have a physical benefit, like medicine, like learn, like a school, like a shochet, so we cannot survive without meat. If the shochet won't be here, so it'll be someplace else, because we'll find the place in order for us to have meat. So this is his definition of the Nezer of Dvar Mitzvah, and it's very interesting that a Hasidic Rebbe would say that it's obvious that children should go to school and learn other chokhmot in order to have a job, which is not so common among Hasidic societies today, but it's very, very interesting. So this is the answer of the Avdi Nezer. Answer number three, how do you define Dvar Mitzvah? But the most important answer, seemingly, of how to define Dvar Mitzvah, and once you go through the contemporary post-scheme, the contemporary Dayanim protocols, so they seem to like the answer of the Chatam Sofer the most, and accept his answer, how to define a Dvar Mitzvah, which is allowed to be in a household. And this is brought both in the Tshuva and also in his Chidushim on Baba Batra. And his definition is as follows in Source 24. He says, what kind of mitzvah are we discussing here? So he says, he seems to sound in the beginning like the Avnei Nezer. Ad kan lo ka'amrei, ela bebitul mitzvah, de'im lo yimedu, itbatlu. Because if they won't learn here, so they won't learn anywhere. Or, sharei mitzvot hamutalim al hakol. Certain mitzvahs, that it's not only my personal mitzvah, it's the mitzvah of everyone, of the public. The entire society have a mitzvah. What kind of a dvar mitzvah is allowed to be inside a building that can make noise to others? A mitzvah that concerns everyone. A mitzvah tziburit. A public mitzvah that everyone together are obligated in that mitzvah. Parnasa, it's your personal mitzvah. You have to take care of yourself and provide food and clothing for your family. You have to educate your child, omanut, and teach him, and send him to school, and in order for him to someday provide himself. That's your personal mitzvah. But the learning of Torah, he says, is a mitzvah tziburit. It's a mitzvah of the public. It's not your personal mitzvah, it's the mitzvah of the public. And since it is the mitzvah of the public, so in that case, people can't say, it's bothering us. Excuse me, sir. This is your mitzvah. You have the responsibility, you have the achrayas to have a school for Torah. Even in your building, you have your own personal responsibility. So, and it's not only your responsibility, it's everyone's responsibility. And that's the kind of mitzvah that you're allowed to have in the place, in the chatzer, in the building, that might make noise to others. And he explains in Source 25, that this is the chiddush of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Gamla. As we said, that the Gemara says that you're allowed to have the noise of children learning Torah in the chatzer, in the building, because it's the Dvar Mitzvah, and this is the takana of Yehoshua ben Gamla to have schools. So you might have thought that the takana of Yehoshua ben Gamla is, now listen, although this is making noise, but in Hilchos Shcheinim you have to know Torah is okay. No. Says the Chasam Sofer, what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Gamla is now being mechadish, what he's now teaching us is something else. We all knew beforehand that public mitzvot that are regarding the public, that everyone are obligated in this mitzvah, everyone knew to begin with that this is the type of mitzvah which is allowed to be in a chatzer, in a building. What did Yehoshua ben Gamla teach us? What did he, what was his chiddush? His chiddush was that the learning of Torah for every child is not only the mitzvah of the father, it's the mitzvah of the entire society, the entire community. Everyone has an obligation to make sure that every child will go to school, every child will get his Torah education. This is the public mitzvah that he taught. We'll see in Source 25. יש לומר עוד, דהגוף הדין, לאו יש אבן גם לאו ואילך נתחדש, אלא כן הוא מעיקר הדין, וכל מצווה מותרת הציבור לסיוע זה את זה, כגון מוהל, במילת הבנים מותר כל ישראל מי שאין לו אב, like a moyal. The mitzvah, brit milah, once the father is not taking care of this child, it became a mitzvah of klal Yisrael. Everyone together have the mitzvah to make sure that this child will have a bris. הוא הדין כשיש לו אב, הקופולים מותר כל ישראל להניח לדור המוהב ושכונות העם. This is a public mitzvah. או רופא נפשות, וכן שם בציבור, or having a shul. Everyone have the responsibility to have a shul. But, אך תינוקות שבית רבן, מאז לא היה מותר אלא לאב. But teaching Torah for children, to begin with, was the mitzvah only of the father. It was his own personal mitzvah. And they couldn't stand the noise coming from this school because an old person in the building said, listen, I already educate my children. They're already great children. They live in Eretz Yisrael. They're great. They're well educated. What is that? What does your child's chinuch have to do to me? Came Yehoshua ben Gamla, Chazdi Yehoshua ben Gamla, latir gam et zer, gam zer latzibur. Yehoshua ben Gamla came and made the chiddush. No, the education of this child and this child and this child is also your personal mitzvah. His chiddush was that the chinuch of the children of Israel, it's not the mitzvah of every father, it's the mitzvah of the public. This was his chiddush. And because of that, only mitzvahs that are regarding the public, these are the type of mitzvahs that are like, that are allowed to be in the chatzer, in the building, in a person's personal house. This is the kind of mitzvah. Are there any questions so far? We're fine? Yes?
We have a Tana in Yerushalmi, named from Rabishwe in Kimon Mishetach. That says there is a takana. You did three takana, one of them she ilchot in Okot Yabeta Sefer. Putting aside the discussion, how come, whether it was before him, after him, or the derision of Yishon Ben-Gamla was very, very early there, maybe there is a difference between what Rabbi Yishon Ben-Gamla did and what Rabbi Shimon Mishetach did back then. Maybe that going to the school is not like putting an update in Okot.
I agree. I think, I mean, it's... I'm not familiar with the Yerushalmi, but what you're saying makes sense. That he said, listen, you have to make sure that the children are learning. If you're not teaching by yourself, send them to school. That was Shimon ben Shetach. And Yeshua ben Gamla said, now we have the chrayas to every single place, every single town, every single neighborhood has to have a place, a school for the children. Every community has to make sure that there's a place to learn. And you can't just say, okay, there's a school someplace in New York. We'll send the kids from Toronto to New York. Chas v'shalom. That might be the takana of Shimon ben Shetach. Make sure that he sent a bus to New York. The chiddush of Yeshua ben Gamla is, what I think is, according to what you're saying, is that no, you have the Christ to have here a place, a school for children to learn Torah. So because of this definition of Dvar Mitzvah, the definition of Dvar Mitzvah, which is allowed to be in the household, in the building, so I want to send you to source 28, Emek HaMishpat. It's written by a Dayan in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Dayan in the basin of Nissen Karelitz. So he brings a few examples of Dvar Mitzvah, which are a Dvar Mitzvah, which is not a public Dvar Mitzvah, and the neighbors could come and protest and say, this is bothering me. He brings an example in Source 28, Otud Aleph, Shachen shenuheg leharich bizmirot Shabbat, v'yachad im bachurim, ad lachal chatzot. There is this gishmak neighbor that he brings yeshivachers to his house every Shabbos, and they're having a tish. They're saying Divrei Torah, but they're also singing until the late hours of night. So this is very, very disturbing the neighbors, and so maybe this is a Dvar Mitzvah. So he says in Ot Yud Bet, Gam ein ladun kan velatzdik et amarish. You cannot say that the person is making noise, it is okay. ולומר, כיוון דה מזמרים שירות ותשבחות לכבוד הבורא יתברך שמו. ואומרים שם דברי תורה, אם כן הווה בגד המצווה. Maybe the neighbor is saying, listen, this is the Dvar Mitzvah. I have your guys, we're learning Torah, we're singing songs. This is the Dvar Mitzvah. לכל מיני דמצווה, אין השליחים ממוחות בעדו, הרי כבר יסד הנחתם סופר. We have already the psak of the חתם סופר. How do you define a mitzvah? The גדר מצווה לנידון זה, הווי רק מצווה המוטלת על כל הציבור. A mitzvah that is concerning the entire public, that the mitzvah which everyone has some kind of קשר to that mitzvah. דהיינו שכולם מצווים לדאוג שיהיה קיים בכל עיר, בכל שכונה, דבר זה, everyone have to make sure that there is a cheder, there is a shul. This is the kind of דבר מצווה. But there isn't any takana telling us that you have to have a tish in every household. You have to have a Rebbe shtibel in every building. No, there's no takana, there's no Dvar Mitzvah in that case. There's no mitzvah tziburi, public mitzvah, to have these kind of things. So the neighbors can come and protest and say, this noise, these noises are disturbing me.
Would there be enough kamina after that about is there already a school there in that city? There's only
I think so. You cannot open unlimited.
So I
think that usually you have to see the mitzvahs, how far it is, how close it is, and usually that's the big problem in Bet Din in Israel. When I moved to my house, to my apartment in Ramot, so it was kind of a new section of the neighborhood of Ramot, and a person opened a kolel in our building. He took two spots in the parking lot and opened a kolel. And he said, we have to have a shul, and so it has to be here. Now, there was another shul 5 minutes from my house. 5 minutes, but it was considered to be in a different, by foot, not by car, by foot. But it was considered to be in a separate part of the neighborhood, because this was already a new part. So he said, listen, this new part has to have a shul. Here it is. But the neighbors claimed, no, we have shuls 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away. And this got the base, and we had to decide whether, how near you have to have a shul and a kolel in your neighborhood. Yeah, it depends to which basin you go. It really depends. But, so, it depends. I mean, if you're saying that, listen, we have in Toronto one school, that's enough. I don't think so. Because it's a huge town. Yeah, it's a huge place. You have to have several.
COVID
shuls, the Batei Din say, that, listen, once the government says you cannot, in certain times in Israel, you weren't allowed to go more than 500 meters out of your house, and you had to have a minyanim, no more than 19 people. So every building became a shtibul. And the neighbors couldn't protest and say, they couldn't protest. This is the mitzvah that everyone has to have a shul in the building. Because you can't go more than 500 meters. So, yes, we can't have more than 19 people. And we had 60 people in our building. So in that case, every building could have maybe even numerous minyanim in the same building. But once the COVID was after and people wanted to carry on the minyanim, and because they enjoyed it for very good reasons, maybe, but so that also was a big mess. Another example, you have a question, Ephraim? Yes, Sholem.
What's it like a business? Someone said they like to scream during davening. So would that make any difference in terms of like volume? Like, can you make a time against them? Like, lower your volume when you're davening because you don't have a nice amount as loud.
That's the way to daven, they'll say. That's the way to daven. You're not even davening in a different way. Uh-huh. Well, so this is a question. I thought, it's not only visions. Let's say every community comes and says, listen, we have to open our own shul. There is a shul in the neighborhood, but it's Ashkenazi. We want to have a Sephardi. There is a Sephardi shul in our neighborhood, but it's a Sephardi Yerushalmi. And we want to have a Sephardi Moroccan. So it happened to be that in Ramot, where I live, we had one street with 10 separate shuls. Chassidish, Marokkai, Yerushalmi, Ashkenazi, Sfaradi, Halabi. And yeah, so it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Chassidish like this, that, Kalin, Vizhnitz. Yeah, it's hard to determine. It's very hard to determine. I personally think that there's no justification to have more than one shul. They deal with it, but
centuries.
Yeah, they do.
The most content to deal with, unfortunately, the circumstance which is a falling out. So Rabbi says, if you can't look at the person next to you, because you're so angry at him, so he says, to start your own shul, it's better than otherwise not. But just in terms of what Ivana mentioned before, the Farshman and Shalmi there say that Yeshua ben Gamla and Shem Shem are together.
Very good.
And so it's not two different kanos, so we don't need to figure out what was the clue between them.
So they were together?
Yeah, they're both the time of the Yom. After Shem Shat, after when Yeshua Gamla's wife gives him the Kedoba.
Depends if it's the same Yeshua ben Gamla.
So it was such a bad time, but then he was.
And it was a Kohen Gadol. Tosfot asked whether it's the same one.
Yeah.
Is it the same Yeshua ben Gamla?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Another example that he brings in Source 28 in Otet Vav. So he says a person is making a sukkah in the late hours of night. So we saw in Pnei Halacha in Masivta saying that the neighbor is allowed to open to build a sukkah, and although it's making noise, it is okay because it's a dvar mitzvah. But he says no, it's not a dvar mitzvah because this is your personal mitzvah. The dvar mitzvah which is allowed to be done in the public area is only when it concerns the public. So maybe the shul is not making a big sukkah, that could be okay. But you're making your own personal sukkah, that's not okay, according to the Chatam Sofer. We'll just go back to source 20. 25 and 26. So in the end of his words, Chatam Sofer says that the doctor that is allowed to open a clinic, maybe it's a doctor that has to do with sekeran nefashot, when it's really dangerous. Not a regular doctor, a doctor that's actually saving people's lives now. So because of that, in source 26, the Shvivei Halevi is a Talmud of Rav Ozner, Rav Shmuel Elazar Stern. He's a Rav, I think, Rav Mizrach Ha'ir or Ma'arav Ha'ir. I think the west side of Bnei Brak. Well, the west side of Bnei Brak. The upper west side of Bnei Brak, yeah. Very prestigious. He really is a gigantic Talmud Chacham. He has a great basin as well. And so he says that the kind of doctors that are allowed to open clinics, because of the Chatam Sofer, there has to be like a Pikuach Nefesh. So he says that it has to be a doctor that is dealing with Machalot Pnimiyot. I'm not sure if I brought it here.
Yeah, you did. It's in the second.
In source 26, in Ot Yudchet. So he says, a dentist is not pikuach nefesh. Machon ortopedi, orthopedists, or physiotherapy, or a gym. Yeah, for some reason, he thinks that all these are the same things. So all these are not necessarily pikuach nefesh, so that you cannot open in the household. But things which are pikuach nefesh, machalot pnimiyot. What kind of example can I have for machalot pnimiyot?
Anything internal.
So it could be a cardiologist, maybe.
Internal medicine is a division of medicine.
Internal medicine? Okay, so every internal medicine that. So generally speaking, it's because, but I'll tell you what, it's not necessarily now. I mean, a person has a heart condition, so he goes to the doctor. But that's because it has now something to do.
It may not be instantly caught that, but
yeah, of course it is, but it's not now to become. I don't know, but he says that. Yeah, so in the end, the Chatam Sofer says there has to be a doctor of pikuach nefesh. You see, I underlined it. It is bar mitzvah. It is bar mitzvah, but maybe the pikuach nefesh is, once there's pikuach nefesh, all of us have to make sure that this person will survive. So it has to be a kind of doctor that saves people now. So maybe with machalot pnimiyot, internal medicine, that is the kind of pikuach nefesh, the kind of doctors which is a pikuach nefesh, meaning this is the public mitzvah to save the person. So it's not every kind of clinic, no dentist, no orthopedist, but yes, cardiologists, and things like that. In the end, he brings a question about kindergartens, and day schools. How do you say good day? Yeah, okay, kindergartens. So he says in source Kaf Aleph in 26, Ot Kaf Aleph. So he says Gane Yeladim Bufrat Peutonim, those who are taking care of the younger children, Beikaram Einam Makom Chinuch. It's not a place for education, according to Rav Stern. Ela Mekomot Bilui LeShira VeLeMischakim. It's just a place for the kids to be there while the parents are working. They're singing there. They're playing there. Sometimes, at the pilut, they had to have some kind of variety of activities. So they tell them, this is not really the place for them to be educated. I'm not sure that this is right. The Metzias, I mean, kids coming home knowing what Hanukkah is and singing Hanukkah songs and knowing and waiting to light Hanukkah candles, I think it has a value. But he says, no, it's... Sorry, what?
In Western
Bay Rock. That's the kind of schools they have there.
The discovery of Gamma was you should start taking also the age, like 6 or 7, right? 5, 6, or 7. So that kids.
So they're not necessarily learning Torah at the time? I don't know.
That appears to be the ending.
Uh huh. Yeah, I think. He says so. He says it has to be hardcore Torah. So it has to be learning Chumash. It has to be learning Mishnayos. It has to be learning Gemara. Just singing, dancing, and from time to time just telling some kind of story from the Parsha, that's not enough. And he said that he asked Rav Ozner, Shevet Levi, Veshivani de bepashtut yesh zchut hashchanim litnaged b'kach. The neighbors could say that this daycare is bothering me. The Metzias says that usually didn't help in Israel.
But this is all, the Mikvah Nefesh discussion is only talking about in terms of being transferring the mitzvah of Mikvah Nefesh.
I think so.
The reason I asked, I issued a few years ago on the issue of community spending. for medical needs and how you prioritize. So there's a tshuva there, a result which came brought from Rabbi Yashiv. The question was as follows. Somebody had, the gevir, had donated to a hospital a large sum of money, and he wanted it to go specifically for a particular kind of fertility, that they should be able to have a child. And the hospital said, you know, we could use the same sum of money that's going to help 5 people a year. We could use that to add beds to our ICU, and it's going to help hundreds of people a year. So should we really redirect the money for that? Leave aside the question of redirecting a truma. But that was the shabba. And the answer was, if I remember correctly, that people don't want to live in a city that doesn't have one of these fertility things. They also talk about it in the transplant units.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only going to help a very few number of people, a very small number of people. Nonetheless, people want that in their city, and if they don't have that, they'll move out. And therefore, it's considered the tzorach of the city itself. And how's that? He said, spend it on them.
That's very interesting. That's very, very interesting. And also has something to do with the second part of my shir about certain needs that concern only the minority of people. Does the majority of people have to pay for this thing? So we'll see it in a moment. In a moment. He concludes and says, what about schools for girls? וכמו כן יש להן היטב לעניין כיתות לימוד וחינוך לבנות שאינן מצוות במצוות תלמוד תורה. They don't have the mitzvah to learn Torah, girls. דיינין אלו כשאר מילדי מצווה. Is this considered to be at least a dvar mitzvah? כיוון שבכל אופן מתחנכים בעמדות ישראל חינוך לתורה ועירה, עודין מה אפשר רק לבנים, הוא דעית לתקנת ולא לבנות, הדברים צריכים תלמוד. He's not sure whether there is a mitzvah for the girls to learn. So as I said, so the question in the Diana's test was, can you open a shop? The answer is probably not. A clinic, maybe depends what kind of clinic. A Talmud Torah, it seems it is okay if there isn't something around. And Betsefer Lebanot, yeah, on the inside. And Betsefer Lebanot. So what I answered in that test, so I brought, I had to say Balpe because I can't bring in the Likutei Halachot. I brought the Chafetz Chaim, source 27, in the Likutei Halachot. And this is the famous Chafetz Chaim speaking and justifying the opening of the Beis Yaakov, of schools for girls to learn Torah, to learn, yeah, in a certain level. So he says in source 27, so that נראה את כל זה דווקא בזמנים שלפנינו. Only in previous times, girls didn't go to learn Torah. שכל אחד היה דר במקום אבותיו, וקבלת האבות היה חזק מאוד, אצל כל אחד ואחד, להתנהג בדרך של אבותיו. Once the family, the children used to accept the tradition of the family. Tradition. כמו הכתוב, שאל אביך והגדך, and the children used to be obedient. בזה הם יכולים לומר שלא תלמוד תורה, שלא תלמוד תורה, that the girl doesn't have to learn Torah, ותסמוך הנגל על אבותי הישרים. She had righteous parents, she looked and saw how are they behaving, so they decided to also, she carried on the tradition. אבל כעת, unfortunately, 100 years ago, בעוונותינו הרבים, קבלת האבות התרופף מאוד. People are no longer observing the tradition. וגם מצוי שנדר במקום עבודיו כלל. And people move away from one city to another city. So don't see their grandparents, don't see the beautiful tradition of their family. So he says, בוודאי מצווה רבה ללמדם חומש. And he says before, מרגילים עצמם ללמוד כתב בלשון עמים. And the girls are learning something. They're learning language, they're learning how to speak and write and talk in a different language. בוודאי מצווה רבה ללמדם חומש. So they're going to learn something, why don't we teach them חומש? גם נביאים, כתובים, מוסרי חז"ל, מסכת אבות, מנורת המאור. כדי שיתמד אצלם עניין אמונתנו הקדושה, שילב הכי עלול שאסור לגמרי מדרך השם, ויעברו על יסודי הדת חס ושלום. And it's so important today that there are other cultures that might be appealing. We have to educate our children, our daughters, Torah. So he said, according to this Chafetz Chaim, of course it is a dvar mitzvah to educate our daughters, and you're allowed to open a girl's school in a building. That's what I wrote, and Baruch Hashem, I think it was okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because this is the future of Klal Yisrael. That the girls also have to learn Torah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
yeah, of course it is. I'll just conclude one last thing that certain poskim wanted to differ and say that there's a chiluk between the times of a chutzar, of having the chatzer and having houses around the chatzer, that maybe that time you could open a school. But today, in apartment buildings, it might be different because Oh Chashuchan says he brings the levush in source 29. שזה שמענו בבימות תורה, אי אפשר למחות, זה דווקא בני מבוי, או בני חצר, ואינם דרים יחד בבית אחד, they're not living in one household, אבל הדרים בבית אחד, ורוצה אחד ומלמד תורה לתינוקות, יכולים למחות בו, מלמוד בבית, שדרים עמו, שזה ודאי התורך רב, לסבול בבית אחד, ולא נשתתפו על דעת, כן, אם לא שיתנו כמתחילה, that living in one house, so that is, you're turning our private house, to a public place, you can protest in that case. You can protest in that case because this already you can't bear it. But in a chatzer, okay, so it says house. It's not my private house. And according to Israeli law, the definition of a building is a binyan mishutaf. It's a communal. It's like one big house that we live together. We have large rooms for each family unit, but. But it's still considered to be one house. Yes, Rabbi Dan.
There's any other consequences for this bar mitzvah, for example, not only mecha, but also, let's say, if you're renting a house and you want to make it a school or Talmud Torah without the permission of the owner of the house. Can you say, I don't need your
okay, very good. So in general, in the halachas of schirus, so there's a question whether, when you come with a certain amount of people, can you do things which bring usually a large amount of people? So the halacha is that they cannot, let's say I want to rent out my house for Shabbos. I'm now going away for Shabbos, so I want to rent out my rented house. Assuming you're allowed to rent that house, which doesn't belong to you, you're allowed to rent it only to a family that has a small size family. When your house was rented to you, so he's all, okay, this is a nice couple. They'll have children, okay. So I'm allowing to them to be here. But not a family with 17 children. And especially not a person who's now opening a school. Yeah, but I can decide what I want to do in my personal house. You're right that maybe I can protest if you're doing it in your house, but I want my house to be my house. Can I go and knock on my neighbor's house? Listen, we decided to have a bar mitzvah in our neighborhood. Your house was selected to be the cheder. Can't do that. It's my house. I'll decide what to do with it. You're right that if you're making noise, I can't protest, but I'm still the owner of my house. Okay. This is the end of Dvar Mitzvah of noise. Now, briefly, I gave you a quite large source sheet discussing Hishtatfut HaKahal Botzot Shnogot L'Chelek Me'atzibur. That when the majority wants something, can they force the minority to pay for it? When the minority wants something, can they force the majority? Who has to pay for it? When? Where? So I'll try to say this thing briefly in the next 14 minutes. So why did I bring this discussion? Because the Shulchan Aruch says in our case of noise, so the Shulchan Aruch says in source number one, in the separate Mar Mekomos, so he says that if someone wants to now open a shop, so a neighbor could come and protest and say, I cannot stand this noise. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Afilu nitratzu lo kulam, chutz me'echad, oto echad me'akev. Even if everyone, all the neighbors want to have a shop, this is so convenient. We're having a shop in our building. I don't have to go all the time to the store. This is great. Everyone wants it. Except one, he can say, no, I'm not allowing it. Although the vast majority wants this, still, one person can be Miyakev and say that he doesn't want this thing. So when is it that the majority can decide something? When is it that Harov Kovea, as we say in Hebrew? So I'll have to go through the sources briefly because I don't want to take also next week's year. So the Shulchan Aruch says in source 3, Kofim bnei ha'ir zed zeh, lasot choma, dlatayim, bariach leir, livnot bem bet ha'kneset, livnot sefer Torah nevi'im ktuvim, kedi shikra bem kol mi shirtze. That once you're now starting a new town, everyone can force the others to build a wall, to have doors, to have a lock.
Where's the
school? Very good. And the Rama says, all of the needs of the town, the people of the city can force one another. And the Rama says, I underlined it and bolded it, afilu mi'ut kofim et hamerubim. Even the minority can come and say, listen, we have now a town, we have to have a shul, we have to have a book of Torah and Tuvim, we have to have a wall, we have to have security, we have to have these things. Even the minority can come and say, we have to have these things. So we see from here that things that the city needs, even the minority can force the majority to have these things. Okay? Afterwards, the Rama says, Kol Tzolki Tzibur, we're studying in source 3, all the Tzolki Tzibur, all the needs of the Tzibur, She'inai yochla shvot atzmam. Some want it, some can't, some don't want it. How do we decide whether are we doing this thing? Yesh lo shiv kol ba'alei batim, hanotnim mas, v'yikablu alem shekol achad yemar dato l'shem shamayim, v'yilchu achar harov. So this is also, so all of the people who are part of the building, who are paying the mas, who are paying the vad bayit, so they gather together, and we go according to the majority. Yilchu achar harov. And everyone has to say it l'shem shamayim. Cannot, for some kind of personal reasons, say otherwise. If you really want this thing, so say so. So you see, we're going according to the Rov. And it seems to become some kind of stira, because the Rama says, Kol Tzolkei Tzibur Holchem Achar HaRov. What happened? Before we said that all Tzolkei Ha'ir, all the city's needs, Mi'ut Kofim Et HaMerubim, the minority can force the majority. Now you're saying that Kol Tzolkei Tzibur, that you can't determine whether we need this or not, we go according to the Rov. What happened? What happened at the beginning? Even the minority can force a majority, and now we have to have only a rov, only when we have a majority. So I brought a very long Mahari Mintz, who, and he is actually the source of the Rama. And when you look into the Mahari Mintz, so he says that they want to have a shul. So they're now looking for funds to have to finish the shul. Be'ofen na'ot l'shem u'letiferet. I'm reading the bold parts in source 4. They have a shul, but they want the shul to be beautiful. In this case, the majority can decide. They want to have now a mikvah. They already have a mikvah, but now they want to have another mikvah. B'makom tzanua kedei litpol bezmanav lachzor habayta im chashecha, in a tzanua place where it will be comfortable for the woman to go to that mikvah, and they won't be scared going back home because it's in a tzanua place, it's in a safe place. They already had a mikvah. They only want to improve it. So I brought in source 5 from the basin of Hayashar V'Atov. It's a very famous basin in Yerushalayim. The basin of Zanachem Goldberg Zatzal, Naftali Nussbaum, Reb Mendel Shafran. It's a very, very important basin. And they explained the Rama according to how they read Mahari Mintz, that if it's something that the city has to have, every city has to have a shul, even the minority can force the majority. If a city wants to now have a mikvah, they didn't have a mikvah before. So even the minority can force the majority. A city has to have a shul, it has to have a mikvah. But if they only want to perfect the shul, to make the mikvah a more nicer, a more pleasant mikvah, so then you have to have the majority, and only the majority in that case can force the minority. You have to have the majority of people would want to improve. So when the city, the building has to have something, even the minority could demand it. When they don't have to have it, but it'll be nice. And it's also something that the city usually would need. We do need a nice mikvah. We do need to have a nice shul. Then the majority can force the minority. Now, once the majority are forcing the minority, let's say some of the people don't need this thing. They don't need this service in town. Do they have to pay for it or not? So the Rama says, back to source 3, in Seif Gimel, he says, Kol tzorkei ha'ir, all the needs of the town, af al pi shemikzatam einan tzrichim, some of the people in the city don't need this thing. Kigon beit chatnut, like a wedding hall, or mikveh v'chadome, some people in the city don't need it. We have older people that they no longer need a mikveh. They already married off their children, so they don't need a place to marry someone. So they say, listen, we are not using these services. We don't need this thing. Says the Rama, afilu hachi, tzrichim iten chilkam. Although that they're not using these services, they still have to pay for it. Okay? And there seems to be a stira, because in source 3, Seif Vav, the Rama brings A different case. Let's say that the majority of the town are people that have that are dealing with this kind of business, that they're using special shitrei chovot, special bills. The majority, this is a town of businessmen. All of them want to use these shitrei chovot. As so the Rama says, yes, omrim shim etzruchu leotzi hotzaot sheyazor lemasar im shitrei chovotem. They had to bribe the minister at the time that he will help them with this business using the shitrei chovot. Not really sure what this business is, but that's the way of life. Otam she'enam nosim ve'notnim v'shtarot, ein chavim etein lezeh. Those who don't practice this practice, this is not their business, they don't have to pay for it. Although the majority of town, almost 99% of the town are using these shtarot, this is their business, they came to live here because this is a town of this particular business, those who are not using it, don't have to pay for it. So that the Achronim ask, it's a stira. Why is it not a stira?
Because Gimel is talking about Sarchei Ha'ir. This is something that you're providing a resource for the community. There may be a guy who doesn't need it, but it's available to him if he ever does need it. It's available for the Kha. What you're talking about in Vav is a need. Each person who has a shtar chov is having it taken care of, and for everybody else, it's not okay. And it's not available. Later on, a year later, if they have a shtar chov they need it for, it's going to be a new enterprise. They're not getting this service in the Kha.
Okay, very good. So I think what the Rav is actually saying, I think it's the Sma's answer. So I'll just say that the stira, the allegedly stira again, in Sif Gimel, those who don't have to use the mikvah still have to pay for the mikvah. And the case of Shitrei Chov, that the entire town have to use these special bills, those who are not using it don't have to pay for it. It seems to be some kind of stira. The Sma says in Source 6 that there's no stira. Because he says, in the case of a mikveh or the house of the wedding hall, nira davka kol kehani, the kol Israel tzrichim levet chatut mikveh. Klal Israel needs a mikveh. They need to have a wedding hall, because usually in life people are getting married, they have to use a wedding hall, they have to use a mikveh. אף אם הראה שיחיד אינו צריך לו מפת זקנה או איזה טעם, אפילו אחי צריך ייתן. מה שאין כן כשהוציאו הוצאה שיעזור למסר בעניין שטרי חוב, שאינן עניין כללי. The mikvah, everyone potentially are supposed to use it sometime. Because that's the way of life. Even though some people are not using it because they're already older, they already don't need it. Still, it's something that kol Yisrael tzichin. Every person needs this thing in life, is supposed to need this thing during his lifetime. Shitrei chov, I can decide not to be this kind of businessman. I could open some other business. I don't necessarily need to use this thing. I won't necessarily need to have this thing. So, Rabbi, according to this sma, let's say we have a shul, and we open it without the regulations of the law, as is many times in Israel. Do we need to now provide a ramp for people who need to have accessibility in for the shul? And only a minority need to use this thing. So let's say the majority said, okay, we want to provide now this ramp for the handicap.
I would argue this is
This is Inyan Klali?
Yeah, because what you're providing is available to this person. He just chooses not to use it.
He doesn't need to use it, Baruch Hashem. He's healthy.
But it's a service that's available for everybody. If you bring he doesn't need to use it.
Chas v'sholom.
Not me. It's not like the Shtar Chov. The Shtar Chov is only, Mr. Katz, you have
Why?
A Shtar Chov, it's for you.
But only certain people are using wheelchairs. Only certain people...
Yeah, but it's available to everybody.
But I don't need it. Also, the Shitrei Chov, if I one day will like to pursue this practice, so it's available for me.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm correct.
What?
Meaning, as in, everybody would like to have, most people at some point in their lives will have use of this.
Very good, very good.
So, it's true that your entire life, like, I will never need to know how to fill out this weird blue form because I'm not in that business.
Yeah, very good, very good. So some might argue and say that, you know, Zal Hashem, you'll become old and maybe in the age of 115, so you'll have to have a wheelchair. It's very nice, very respectable, it's very okay. But still, I think, strictly speaking, according to the Sma, a mikvah, everyone is in his life is supposed to use the mikvah, is supposed to get married, b'zal Hashem. But not necessarily, he will have to work with the shlichov. He won't necessarily have to have a wheelchair in his lifetime. But I don't know, that's a way to understand the sma.
Okay.
You can argue it. The other answer that brings the Chatam Sofer, it's not only his answer, it's an answer also the Ma'ariv Mintz brings, that the reason why in the case of a mikvah, you can force also those who don't need it to use it, because it could be that once in a while, you're going to use it. He says, now the Ma'ariv Mintz says, in the second paragraph, that filu zkenot tzrichim mikveh kol ponim b'rosh hashanah v'yom kippur, shetuvlim l'tshuva. Yes, even those who no longer have to go to mikveh all the time, once a year before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there was a minhag, today I think it's less common, they go to the mikvah for tshuva purposes. So they do use it once in a while. And also, in the case of the wedding hall, so maybe that your great-grandson will like to get married here. You can never know. So maybe you might use it. Since you might use it, you're obligated to pay for this thing. And he brings another example, that once a town wanted to bring a Talmud Chacham to answer the shaylas for the town. And one Talmud Chacham said, listen, I already went to yeshiva. I already did Rabbanus. I don't need no rabbi to tell me what to do. So he says that since that is true, you really don't need the services of the Rav. You don't have to pay for his salary. So today everyone thinks they need a Rav. But yeah, so this is also according to the Chacham. So you have to prove that you somewhat, in some certain time, will benefit from this thing. So a nafkamina, the obvious nafkamina between the Sman Nachtam Sofer is if in fact are you going to enjoy this thing? A nafkamina could be regarding having an elevator in the building. There are still buildings in Israel that don't have an elevator yet. So let's say the majority of the neighbors want now to have an elevator. Do all neighbors have to pay for the elevator, especially concerning those who live on the ground floor, that they just walk in to their floor, they have an apartment on the ground floor, they really don't need an elevator. So they say, according to the Rama, it is considered to be inyan klali. Every building usually should have a building. This is the definition of a building. So you're going to the Smites in Yan Klali. Every building has an elevator, so you can force even those who live on the bottom, because this is the way buildings are built. So maybe according to the Sma, you can force also those who don't even need the elevator because they live on the bottom floor. But according to the Chatam Sofer, who brings many posts, who say that no, it's only when you sometime in your life will enjoy this. Since you live there, is so, and you won't need it, you won't use it. So in that case, the person on the bottom floor doesn't have to pay, even if the majority want it. The law in Israel is actually that no matter what, even if the bottom floor wants an elevator, they don't have to pay for it. I don't exactly understand why. I saw in the Atal Kol Zchut that for some reason, even if, yeah. Okay, we'll leave you here for today.
Just one note. The first line in source 4 on the new sheet.
Oish.
Shemos.
Where? First line? Oy vey voy.
So just make sure to put it in Geniza or give it to us, and we'll put it in
Geniza. Oish, didn't notice it. Okay, we're done for today. Good Shabbos.
Yeah.